Good morning. So last Sunday, there was a question about koans. And I thought I might share what a koan experience might be like. Translation is usually public record. It's usually either a story about Buddha himself and his disciples, or it's an exchange between two Zen teacher and monk or student or two Zen masters. That's the setup usually, and then there's a follow-up question to test the student's understanding. This is usually done in an interview room between the student and the koan teacher or Zen master. The only hint I can give you about koan practice is that it's always in the realm of non-duality. You get tripped up because of your this and that mind, your conceptual thinking. So I'm going to share this one. It's a story. And just imagine you're sitting in the room and this teacher is telling you this story. In ancient times, the Zen monk Gyo Chingzhan of Jiangsu once observed the master Dashan on the far bank of a river. As a distant greeting, he put his hands together and bowed and said, "Haven't you investigated yourself yet?" Dashan just waved the fan which he was holding in his hand. Thereupon, Gyo Chingzhan was suddenly enlightened. He then ran off down the bank of the river without even turning his head to look back. Another monk, Fu Zhanye, made the following remark on this episode. "How strange, such virtuous meditators as these eminent one are so very difficult to meet. Old Dashan's kojo was always in use. It was as though he was sowing stars. His blows certainly produced some good monks." So the kojo, of course, is a staff, stick. "In the past, Dashan waved his fan. Now I raise my fly whisk. Are these two actions the same or different?" "If you say they are the same, then clouds are covering the clear sky. And if you say they are different, then wind is passing over the surface of the water. May those endowed with a Dharma eye speak out." So that's an example of the kind of stories that you would be confronted with in your interview room with the Zen master. What do you say? How do you answer? The other use of koans is to provide you with a great question that you ponder in your meditation. The most famous koan that most people get right away when they first started practice is about Joshua's dog. And does a dog have Buddha nature? Buddha said, "All sentient beings have Buddha nature." Joshua said to the question, "Does a dog have Buddha nature?" "Mu," which means no, not so. Resolving mu, no, is the first koan that many people practice. So that's my little bit on koans. In life, I think we're faced with koans if we're willing to look all the time, things that can't be solved with your intellectual thinking, your assumptions about how things are. It's only with eyes wide open, with a mind that's clear like space, that you reflect exactly what's in front of you and not some idea of it. That's just another expedient means of getting to the point that all these teachings are aiming at, and that's awakening. Any contributions or questions?
So, as to that particular scenario, if I was in an interview with a Zen master, I have learned by this time that there is no right answer. So I think I would say it's both and it's neither.
He would throw you out.
Okay.
Go away, come back when you know the answer.
Okay, well, then I would say both. Because both to me means that there is no one point in time at which I know which way to go or what choice to make. This is a continuum. And so in 1 second, it might be right for me to go down one path, but in the next instant, things have changed, the wind has shifted, etc. And now I have to be ready to change direction and go down another path.
Oh, that's all part of duality. You're just talking about phenomenal experience. That has nothing to do with it. That has everything to do with it. And it has nothing to do with it. One more step is necessary. Keep practicing. Anyway, we're not in the interview room right now, and I'm not looking for answers. And this is just, we're just playing. We're not in an interview room. So I would not be interviewing you, and it would not be public like this. This would be a private experience between the two people, and it would be very intimate and very real and kind and generous and also enlightening. We can't have that experience right now. I wasn't really looking for an answer to that. If you say this, you're wrong. And if you say that, you're wrong. How would you answer?
In these scenarios, are they not looking really for an answer? It's more of essence of understanding.
Yeah, so how do you express that essence of understanding? And how you express it shows where you're still stuck. So how you answer shows where you're at. That can be very enlightening. Isn't it our mistakes? Isn't it when we suffer that we have the opportunity to wake up? Isn't it when we don't get it? See, it's when we think we get it that we're really in deep shit. It's when we have a question that can't be answered so easily with the intellectual mind that we get closer to our own reality just as it is. The more we think we know, the further away we are from the truth.
Well, I remember Ram Dass told a story where he went to a Zen retreat, a very, very austere and like a very red, I forget exactly what it was, but he went there in California and every day is very in silence and it's very, very, it's very, very limited in stimulation, obviously. And then you'd be taken in front of the Roshi and he would ask me, how do you know your true Buddha nature? And you give an answer and he'd tell you to get out. And over like 6 days, he kept trying to give an answer and he'd tell him to get out. And then like one of the last days, like Ram Dass was like tired and cold and he didn't care and he was hungry. And he just walked in, he said, so how do you know your Buddha nature? He says, good morning, Roshi, how are you? And he goes, now you're becoming beginning Zen student. Like when he didn't care and he was just enough with all the BS and he stopped thinking, that's when he was like, now you're starting to get it.
That's it.
Funny.
Yeah. Yes, often, Zen masters are looked at as being really hard ass and tough and scary. And their best students refer to them as grandmothers, grandmotherly love, caring, ultimate caring, compassion for our very nature. Help us along to understanding. That's a beautiful exchange. That's a good one. Thank you for sharing that.
I remember fondly, one of my teachers talks about her experiences with koan practice and how she was having real difficulty with one and how as she was waiting in line, she just got a little closer to the interview door and to overhear the answer of the person ahead of her. And she did. And so when she entered the interview room and gave that answer, you know, he said, that's not your answer. You can't copy answers. That's not the way it's done. And everybody has their own answer.
Right.
I just thought that was very interesting.
Yeah.
And funny.
Yeah. Hope you all have a wonderful day. Hope to see you again next week, if not sooner. So be well. Take care.